right, y'all ready to dig into some of this? So as we talk about this whole matter of I love my church, before I can really kind of get headlong into it, we got to lay some foundations. We got to understand some foundations about the church. So let's begin here in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 through 18. That's going to be very key for us to understand. It says, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock. "And upon this rock," which was actually a different Greek word there, so it's kind of a play on things Jesus was doing, says, "I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Praise God. Yeah. Jesus says here, "I will build my church upon something here." Now, interesting right here in the beginning, Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples, and uniquely, they are in Caesarea Philippi. In Israel, there's actually two cities, you know, called Caesarea. One is actually off the waters, the Mediterranean Sea, but then another one is up further in the northern country, and pretty much almost at the top of the border. And in this area, there was a lot of, you know, idolatry worship. So people, you know, were gravitating to various type of gods and so forth. So Jesus, in the midst of all of that, was, you know, asking his disciples, "Well, who do you choose? Who do you choose, and who do you say that I am?" The $1 million, $1 billion, $1 trillion question that every human being has to answer is, who do you say that Jesus is? And some were saying that Jesus was a great prophet, and, you know, some, you know, hey, is he Elijah, or so on and so forth? And Peter spoke up and says, no, "You're the Christ," which meant Messiah, "the Son of the living God." And that's when Jesus responds to him and says, "Okay, all right, you got this. And you didn't get this from man. My Father revealed that to you." And he says, "Now I'm going to build my church upon this." So here's the first thing you need to understand about the church. The term church is translated from the Greek word ekklesia, which in short describes a called out assembly. So when Jesus says, "I will build my church," this thing that he's talking about, he's like, this is what I'm going to build, this assembly that I'm developing. This called out assembly. Called out from where? Called out from every people, tribe, culture, and nation. This is the church. And that's why we see here in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, he says, "And they sung a new song." This is really a picture of the church over in glory, "saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred," come on, race, "every tongue," dialect, "every people," every group, "and every nation," every ethnicity. So the church, again, is this called out, you know, people. And again, we're called out from various backgrounds, various cultures. That's why one of the worst things for us to do in church is to try to just group ourselves based upon ethnicity, culture, race. Because I got news for you. That's not what heaven looks like. And a lot of times individuals get kind of fixated and really begin to watch this, try to select church based upon what looks like me. That would be a gross mistake. Because the kingdom of God is built up and called out, you know, of people of various races, dialects, groups, and ethnicities. And so you have to understand that God is very, what I could say, free-flowing when it comes to this. He's very progressive in his thinking. Where God says, "I don't pay attention to all of those differences. I just want to know, are you connected with me?" That's where God is focused. The second element, foundation of understanding the church, is the church is founded upon the revelation and acknowledgement that Jesus alone is the Christ. Jesus alone is the Christ. That's what he says here when he says, "Upon this rock I will build my church." He wasn't talking about he was building his church on Peter. He's saying, "I'm building my church upon the revelation and truth that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God." This called out assembly gathers around this one truth. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Or we could say it like what we said last week and in the week before. Jesus is Lord. The church is built upon that revelation and truth. That's what Jesus was after. And what is that? That means people from every different background, every different ethnicity, tongue, language, whatever the case. Now we come to a gathering place of, yeah, but Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. The third element for foundation, for understanding the church is this. Christ is the head of the church and his followers are subject to him. Christ is the head of the church and his followers are subject to him. We understand this, especially as parents. Parents, we understand this. We are the head of our children and they are subject unto us. So, you know, we got some little ones in here. So we already know. Come on now. You know, come on. Z is a blessing. Come on. Kinsley is a blessing. But they don't run the house. Although they will try to. Come on. Let the church say amen. Anybody ever had some kids? You know, them kids try. They try you. They think they can run something. Like, hey, come on. You. And then you get all adultish and be like, you don't pay no bills. what in the world? Because why? We understand you are subject to our leadership. Well, Christ is the head of the church, and we're subject. So what does that mean? That means we don't get to make up our own stuff. We don't get to change God's truth and principles because society begins to go a certain way. Number four, the church is also known as the body of Christ. He's the head. The church is the body. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him, Jesus, head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ who fills all things everywhere with himself. Come on, the church is his body and Jesus is the head. I like the Message translation in verse 23. It says this, the church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Come on, the church is Christ's body, which he speaks and acts. That's how God is acting in the earth today, by the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit through his church. The church speaking, the church acting on behalf of Christ. So when you understand that Jesus is the head of the church and the church is the body of Christ, Jesus is the head, the church is the body, then you understand that there's this union and this fusion that you can't separate the two. So that's why you see this statement on your screen and never forget this principle. To love Jesus is to love the church. To love Jesus is to love his church. If there is a lack of love for the church, there's a lack of love for Jesus. Now that's where people get thrown, because philosophy has taught us that, well, you can love God and you can love Jesus without the church. Well, Jesus is the head of the church. So how are you going to separate the head and the body? You can't do so. And think about, you know, the relationship dynamic of that, that someone is saying to Jesus, oh, Jesus, I love you. I just can't stand what you created. See, parents understand that when someone will come along to you and be like, oh, you're great, but I can't stand your children. That's the last time you're probably talking to them. It's like, you must have lost your mind. Because we're one. We're together. We're connected. To love Jesus is to love his church. And there's a lack of love for the church. There's a lack of love for Jesus. Number five, foundations, understanding the church. There's only one church. There's only one church. In South Florida, there are thousands of churches. Throughout this country, there are hundreds of thousands of churches. Around the world, there are millions of churches. But here's the truth. There's only one church. There's only one. There's only one. Maybe a generation ago, roughly 40 years or so, there was really kind of a big push behind this understanding and revelation that there's only one church. So then many church institutions begin to adjust our name to things like Faith Christian center. Now, this is a Christian center. There's only one church, so everything else is just kind of a gathering, you know, center. And worldwide makes up the church. One church. So watch this. I didn't say one Baptist church. I didn't say one Pentecostal or Presbyterian church. No, just one church. Now, really, I could say this, and I'll help you in understanding. I could say one Catholic church. What? Well, see, you have to understand. Catholic just simply means universal. That's all they were saying in that description. That is one universal church. That's it. So in when you stay true to what the term actually means, yeah, there he is, just one, you know, universal church. That is what it is. Yeah. So number six then helps us to understand this about the church. There are to be gatherings of believers, though, in different locales. So yeah, there's just one church, but there's supposed to be various gatherings of believers in different, you know, locales, you know, throughout. Number seven, the assembly or gathering can happen anywhere. The assembly or gathering can happen in any particular place. This is why Jesus made, you know, one comment where he says, now, where two or three are gathered in my name, he says, there am I in the midst. The gathering can happen anywhere. Matter of fact, I mean, it can even happen like in a movie theater. Oh, okay. All right. It can happen anywhere. When the church was birthed, Jesus made the statement that we read earlier in Matthew chapter 16, and then after his resurrection and the church was starting to form, watch this. They didn't have a quote-unquote building. Please understand, buildings are not churches. Do you understand? Buildings are not churches. There's nothing holy about the building if the people are not there. And if the people don't have proper revelation, it still ain't holy. The church gathering place can happen anywhere. And when the church was starting off, the only place they could get together most of the time was at home. At one point, they used to try to get together in the synagogues, and then, you know, the traditional Jews got tired of them. Just like, y'all with that Jesus thing. So eventually threw them out of the synagogues. It's like, y'all can't meet in here anymore. Y'all take that stuff somewhere else. So did they get discouraged? Nope, they just start gathering together from house to house. And then eventually, at some point, someone that said, hey, let's build a structure where we can all come together. And that's fine, but the structure is not the church. Never has been and never will be. Number eight, foundation for understanding church. The church is to be the pillar and ground of truth for living. The pillar and ground of truth. Understand what this says here in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Apostle Paul, he's speaking. He says, I'm writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon, so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves in the house of God. Oh, okay. This is the church of the living God. That's the house of God. Another name for the church. This is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of the truth. The church is the pillar and the foundation of truth. Watch this. This is where we have started to slip for society. Today, in many circles, the university has been exchanged for the pillar and foundation of truth. It's supplanted the church as the pillar. So whatever we can learn in the, you know, the universities with our education and so forth, then well, that's the truth. That's the truth. And I'm not against education. I like education. I think education is good. Get as much of it, you know, as you like. But you need to understand the university was birthed by the church. Oh, you didn't know that. First university was started in the 12th century. And it was started as a center, a gathering, an academic institution to help individuals develop further in God. And every university that was established was theologically focused, including universities like Harvard, Yale, and I could go on. Now, many of them have diverted from that original design. But the way God established things is that the pillar and ground of truth for society is the church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number nine, is this helping anybody? Each follower of Christ's presence in the gathering or assembly is to provide value and benefit. Benefit to God, benefit to others who are gathered, and benefit to yourself. One of the gross misconceptions about church is that it's treated like a nail salon, barbershop type thing, where you just kind of try to just pick what fits good for you. That's not how the dynamic of church is. I'm going to get in more into this a little bit later, but understand this element. You're called to a specific locale. You're called to it. You're called to it. See, as a pastor, I'm called to this area. Called to it. And then God now sends others who are called to the vision that he has given us here. The vision and the mission. Called to it. Our society is very consumeristic. So we like to just kind of pick and choose what fits and what works well. So most people today, they kind of go shopping, you know, for a church like they would go shopping at Publix. That's how church is thought of. Very secular. And I get it. Most people just don't know. They just don't understand. So they're looking for something that serves them. And church is by no means a selfish venture. Now, somewhere along the lines, I think most people, if not all, kind of show up to church because we've been dealing with something and looking for some sense of relief. But at some point, when you kind of got your relief, you need to then understand and gravitate towards the purpose of the church. That's to help to equip all people to grow fully in Christ. Then you understand, it's really not about me. Hey, I need to come here so I can kind of get healed and get whole, and then I can get deployed. That's a military term. Come on, now, will you now go out in service to impact others? I think a better analogy for church is almost maybe like a doctor. I don't even think that does it justice. Because I've kind of seen some different doctors. I'll give you one example with my mother. Years ago, my mother had a doctor, and my mother and father, they had this one particular doctor, and he just, I think, was just missing it on a few things. So they're right there, you know, with the doctor, and the doctor is kind of prescribing certain things, I guess, and I don't think things were working out, you know, properly. And then it came to a point where my mother's feeling a little different. She's feeling funny, you know, in her body. And so she goes to the doctor, and the doctor's like, yeah, looks like, to me, seems like you got a tumor. It's like, a tumor? Yeah, you have to know my mother's a tumor. It's like, huh. Like, I don't know about all that. And she tells, you know, my father, her husband, Floyd, and it's like, oh, well, doctor said you need to have it removed, and you just need to have it removed. He's like, huh. Goes back to the doctor, just like, I don't know. It's like, no, look, you need to have this removed as soon as possible. So she has a friend, my godmother, bless her heart, that says, Dorothy, before you do that, would you just come see my doctor? Just let my doctor examine you. That's all. That's all I ask. That's all I ask. So she's like, all right. So she goes to, you know, her friend's doctor, and doctor was like, oh, well, your issue is you're pregnant. Mother was like, I ain't pregnant. She's like, Dorothy, you're pregnant. Like, the other doctor told me, I'm not pregnant. You know, it's a tumor. He's like, it's not a tumor. You're pregnant. She goes back to the original doctor and tells him. He's like, as and I won't say that part. But pretty much he was just kind of like, I am absolutely certain you are not pregnant. You understand? That is a tumor. So my mother, with her wisdom, said, you know what? I think I'm going to leave you alone. And she went back, you know, to the other doctor. So sure enough, some different things began to go on. And she did realize she was pregnant. And then her and my father had this beautiful blessing named Anthony Dean Crawford. But stay with me on the point here about how you want to come to a church. You don't just kind of casually choose something. Because after that experience, my father kept going to that same other doctor. Now, I don't understand that. I was just like, they just, you know, were about to perform really an abortion, and thinking that, you know, your wife had a tumor, and he kept going to the doctor. He felt some kind of allegiance to the doctor. And watch this, I'm gonna mess with you a little bit, because I think some of the family went to the doctor, other members of the family. See? Come on, I'm out here. Some people get connected and messed up in church because, well, that's where the family goes. So what? Where are you called to? He keeps going, and he's having physical challenges. He goes to the doctor. Doctor prescribes him stuff, and it's not working. Nothing's working. So finally, and you have to understand my father. My father grew up in some pretty tough times, and my father was drafted to World War II. Okay, injured in battle, trained as a Marine, all of that. You just have to understand his personality. That for something to really bother him, I mean, for you to see something was bothering him, it meant it was about to kill him. Otherwise, you would never know it. So he's going back and forth to the doctor. Nothing's working. And my mother, she tells a story. She's like, she's laying in bed, you know, one night in the middle of the night. And she's like, where's Floyd? He's not in the bed. She goes, she gets up, trying to see if he's somewhere in the house, and then she finds him in the living room, and he's standing in the living room crying. And you just have to understand, Father, he was just not the kind that cried at all about anything. And his hands are all swollen. I mean, he's just in excruciating pain, and he's just standing there just crying. It's just like, oh, my goodness. So she calls her doctor in the middle of the night. I don't know. I don't think you can get away with that now. But... And she explains, you know, to the doctor, like, this is what's going on with my husband. Can you please see him? So doctor's like, listen, you know, meet me there, bring him to my office. And I think it was like early, like 6 o'clock in the morning. And brings him to the office. He examines him. And I think maybe a couple hours, you know, so forth. And he comes out and he says, look, Dorothy, I need to... We're going to take him over to the hospital just for precaution, some things we may need to do. He wasn't being truthful. So she's like, oh, okay. Gets him to the hospital. As soon as they get him to the hospital, they perform an emergency surgery. Surgery, thankfully, went well. Came out afterwards, says, Dorothy, if you'd have waited one more day, he would have died. Just one more day. He kept going to that same doctor rather than going where he was called to. And it almost killed him. Church is not this, you know, again, salon or whatever that you just kind of choose. And no, you gotta find out where am I called to? And when you catch that, then you invest your life right there. Now, number 10, every local assembly gathering has a shepherd to guide it, who's appointed by God and is recognized by church leaders and Christ followers as such. Every local assembly gathering has a shepherd to guide it. There's more I could get into, but I just wanted to give you those 10 basic foundations understanding the church. So when you put all that together, understand the church is this. Church is not actually a place to attend. It is a people called out of various backgrounds and circumstances who do life together while chasing the fulfillment of God's mission. These are people who choose not to be defined by race, color, gender, social position, economic status, and etc., but who choose to be defined by God and his mission for them. Yeah. Listen, that's why we don't go to church. We come together to be a part of God's dream. See, I challenged my leaders in this last year. It's like, please, don't ever come to church again. And they looked at me crazy, like, what? What? I said, this is what I need for you to do. Don't come to church anymore. They were like, what in the world? I said, no, don't come to church, because you got to catch revelation that you are the church. Come to be a part. Let's gather together to be a part of God's dream and helping God's dream to come to pass in other people's lives. So when you think about church, maybe next Sunday, like, and somebody is like, are you going to church? Just tell them, say, baby, I am the church. But I am going to gather with some others just like me. You want to come? Because we're coming together to be a part of God's dream. God has a dream that he's trying to accomplish. And we are in on his dream, praise God. That's what this is all about. Glory to God. So now here, very quickly. What about this local gathering, this local assembly that you're in right now, that you're a part of, that you're watching, Impact Church? Well, let's understand some things about it. Because if you're going to love your church, you have to understand aspects and everything that's going on. Our mission is very simple. This is why we exist. Someone say why. This is why we exist. We exist to equip all people to grow fully in Christ. So again, to us, it does not matter at all what color you are, what size you are, what background you have. Because I know some individuals, you know, before be like, you know, I don't know how to tell you this, you know, but I've been in jail. And I messed somebody up one time. They did that. I was like, oh, me too. Like, what? Like, aren't you the pastor? Like, well, yeah, that's true. That's true. I won't go into all that today. I'll share that some other time if you don't know. But the bottom line is none of that stuff matters. And watch this. And people with that little, you know, sense of prejudice or racism or whatever, they don't like it here. They don't fit here because that's not our culture. We love everybody. Come on, I say we love everybody. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So that's our mission. Our design, watch this, who we are, is we are a family of friends who passionately love God and who seek to share his love with those who know him and those who don't as we grow together to be like Christ. Yeah, that's who we are. That's our design right there. We accomplish our mission by helping people through the impact pathway, which is to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. That's how we accomplish our mission. That's how we are helping people to grow fully in Christ. Our vision, again, has been this, you know, since before day one. And when we say our vision, this is how we approach ministry. Everything that we do now is done in this fashion. Impact Church of South Florida's vision is to teach people the word of God in a way that is clear and concise and that is easily understood and applied. We will provide people the training and support to aid them in fully recognizing their righteousness in Christ and in completely fulfilling their God-given purpose. That is, to develop a genuine passion for God, to obtain an understanding of God's word, to learn how to represent Christ with integrity, to cultivate the heart, to pursue the lost and wounded, to establish a sense of order and unity within the body, to offer continuous service to God and people, and to nurture excellence in spirit in all things. That's the vision of Impact Church. Has always been, always will be. It's how we approach everything that we do. Our vision initiatives, watch this, what we aim for. Come on, somebody want to know what you're aiming for? Good, here we go. Establish a catechism, Bible teaching program for the layperson. Someone say step five. That's what step five is. It's a one-year catechism, you know, program of just really kind of laying out some of the basics and truths about following Christ. Secondly, open an Operation Blessing Center, providing food and clothing services. Open a refuge for abused women and single mothers. And we do a lot with various, you know, programs, you know, that do these things now. establish an institution that ministers to the incarcerated, drug addicted, and abused, and train them in liberty, restoration, reentry, and self-sufficiency. Establish Impact Academy, a school for kindergarten through 12th grade. Establish a university of higher learning, stressing academic excellence through the promotion of biblical truth. Someone say Impact College. Establish a viable and effective campus ministries at universities in the area. Reach out through the medium of radio, television, and internet. Conduct missions work throughout the Caribbean and abroad. Establish a permanent campus that serves as the hub for the vision. And I'm going to give some update on that as well. Keep praying. Keep praying. I haven't said anything in a little while, so don't think that it's not because things ain't been working on. Oh, we've been working some work. Well, we've been working some work, praise God. Yes, indeed. Yes, amen. So now, in conclusion, let's look at this in John chapter 13. In conclusion for today, we just want to lay a foundation today. I hope you understand the church better. John chapter 13 says, "Let me give you a new command. Love one another in the same way I loved you. You love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples when they see the love you have for each other." Huh. This is Jesus talking to his followers. He says, I want you to love each other the same way now that I've displayed loving you. And then here's the issue that you got to back up on. In the earlier part of that chapter, in John chapter 13, he washed their feet. Oh, no. You just don't understand. Washing somebody's feet today might be uncomfortable. Washing somebody's feet back then? Come on, with them, when them sandals and your mode of transportation was your feet always? Come on, they didn't have no Dr. Scholl's. Everybody's feet, watch this, had some issues. And Jesus washed his disciples' feet, including the one that he knew that was going to betray him. See, this is the model of love that he is showing. And then he says, now I'm telling you all, so I'm giving you all a new commandment. Come on, this is kind of the new covenant commandment. All those other things, you don't have to focus there. Focus on this. There's really two things you focus on: believing in him and then loving each other the same way he loves you. This winds up being the most distinctive, signifying, and unique attribute of a follower of Christ, for us to love each other the way that God loves us. Now watch this. Not to a point where we become exclusive. Anybody understand what I mean by that? Because sometimes you can develop cliques. The church can become like this clique, like, well, yes, this is us. So then God begins to send new people and they can't penetrate it. Because you got your little clique, like, oh, okay, well, welcome to you, but you stay there. Like, what? No. No, our arms are like this for everybody. Everybody. Whether you've been around for 2 weeks or 20 years, our arms are like this for everybody, praise God. Because we love one another the same way Jesus has loved us. Glory to God. So we are on a mission now, because we love our church, watch this, to build his church the right way. Build it in a way that makes the greatest impact for Jesus that, watch this, this area has ever seen. But that takes a people, watch this, that know that they are called to it, and a people that's fully committed there too. So here's what I want to ask. Go ahead, stand up on your feet with me. Let's just take some time to just honor and celebrate God in this. Glory to God. Hallelujah.